Hello, I'm Tash, and you're listening to episode 257 of Chat Disney. To another episode of the Chat Disney podcast, and I am really, really excited for today's episode as I'm going to be catching up with Mercedes and we are going to be talking all about her most recent trip to Disneyland Paris. Now, there is a ton for us to discuss here. I can't wait to get into it with her. This is going to be a topic that we cover over the next few episodes of Chat Disney as there is a lot to unpack here. But we're going to start today by focusing on where she stayed. But before we get into that, let's have a quick look at what has been happening in the world of Disney this week. So it's been a fairly quiet news week this week for Disney, but they did hold their quarterly earnings meeting, and Bob Iger did make a bunch of announcements in this. Now, Disney have, as part of this, released their latest official timeline of major openings at parks and experiences through from now to 2026. So there were quite a few things on this list, things that we know that we're already expecting, anticipating, things like the Fantasy Springs that is going to be opening in Tokyo Disney, that we now have a date is going to be June the 6th of this year. The Little Mermaid, a musical adventure, which we know is coming to Hollywood Studios in Orlando. That is going to be coming in fall of this year. There are a couple of other things on the list as well that still don't have exact dates. Things like Tiana's Bayou Adventure just was announced for 2024. We still don't have an exact date on that yet, which is a real shame. There were a few other announcements as well regarding the world of Disney movies and Disney Plus. And one thing that was announced that was coming to Disney Plus, which is very good news for any Swifties out there, is that Disney Plus is actually becoming the exclusive streaming platform of Taylor Swift's tour, the Eras Tour, which will be coming on March the 15th, and it will include 5 additional acoustic songs. So I don't mind Taylor Swift. I wouldn't call myself a Swiftie. I know that my husband really likes her, so he will definitely be watching this. But yeah, I think there'll probably be some big Taylor Swift fans out there who maybe were not lucky enough to get concert tickets for her that will be very excited about this. Now, one of the biggest pieces of news that came out last week that rocked the internet because it was very unexpected was a teaser trailer for Moana 2. Now, a lot of people were like, hang on a minute, when was this announced? How were Disney keeping this under a rock hidden from us? I, for one, initially thought that it was a joke. I thought it was some kind of early April Fools. I thought I'd missed something. But no, Moana 2 is going to be coming this year. It's coming in November. So it was originally intended to be a series for Disney Plus, but then Disney decided actually to change it into a feature-length movie, which will have a cinema release. Now, yeah, huge news. A lot of people really shaken by this. We know that we've got the live-action remake that is going to be coming in 2-3 years' time. Who knows when? But yeah, this is pretty big news in the world of Disney. So that's quite exciting for any Moana fans out there. I don't really know how I feel about a Moana 2, but there we go. It's nice to know that we've got something to a movie, not an original movie, of course, because it is a sequel, but it's nice to know that we've got something coming this year. We spoke a few weeks back on the podcast all about Disney on Ice, and unfortunately, the ice skater who portrays Belle in the Disney Princess section of Disney on Ice was injured while attempting a lift. She fell onto the ice during a show, and of course she was immediately taken to hospital. Apparently she is in critical condition, so really, really hoping that she does make a speedy full recovery. Just goes to show you how risky and dangerous this show can be. And finally, again, some news that sort of rocked the world of the Disney community last week. We know that Disney is all about inclusivity, and we have had more details announced about Tokyo Disney's Fantasy Springs expansion. And with this, we know that kind of the flagship attraction is going to be Peter Pan's Neverland Adventure. And we received an official description for this last week. And it says something about join Peter Pan, Tinkerbell, and the Lost Kids. So the Lost Boys have actually been rebranded or renamed to the Lost Kids to include boys and girls, etc., etc. Now, there's a lot of people that have been voicing their opinions on this. Some people love it, some people absolutely hate it. But there we go. They are no longer the Lost Boys. They are the Lost Kids. I don't know if this is something that we're going to see in other Disney parks, but when Disney Springs or Fantasy Springs opens in Tokyo Disney, they will be referred to as the Lost Kids. And that pretty much sums up all the important stuff that has been happening in the world of Disney this week. We're now going to move on to the main part of the episode, talking all about Mercedes' recent trip to Disneyland Paris. So I am really, really excited to get into this. Mercedes and I have, obviously we've spoken a little bit about her trip. She sent me lots of photos and little updates, but we haven't actually had a proper trip debrief. She is fresh off the Eurotunnel as of last night. So she was in Disneyland less than 24 hours ago. And I can't wait to get into this with you, but we're going to be dedicating, because there's so much to cover, we are going to be dedicating the next three, maybe even four episodes to Mercedes' trip. And we thought we would start today by talking all about accommodation. And Mercedes, I'm going to hand over to you here, because you had a little secret up your sleeve that you were keeping from our listeners, didn't you?
I did indeed. And as the title of today's episode probably gives away, I actually was really, really lucky on this trip to Disneyland Paris, because not only was it extra special as it was my son's first time at Disneyland Paris, it was also my first time staying at the Disneyland Hotel, which was like a bucket list lifetime ambition for me. I've never stayed there, never thought I would be able to. And yeah, really, really exciting. Obviously, the Disneyland Hotel in Paris has been closed for the past kind of 3 years and has newly been reopened. You must be living under a bit of a rock if you've not seen all of the content online at the moment of the Disneyland Hotel. So being able to stay there amidst all of this excitement was really quite magical. Now, you, the listener, you might be thinking, well, why didn't you tell us this? You'll notice that on previous episodes, I never actually said where I was staying. I kind of alluded to the fact that my sister was staying at a different hotel from me. I think we actually shared that she was staying at Cheyenne and I was staying elsewhere because I needed a pool. But I never actually said where I was staying. And the reason why was because this was actually a surprise for my mum. So on the trip, it was my mum, my sister, her boyfriend, my husband, me, and our baby. And our baby, like all five adults, the baby. And my mum thought that she and I and my son and my husband were going to be staying at Sequoia Lodge. So I decided to surprise my mum as a bit of a thank you, really, for everything that she's done for my family over the past 6 months since my son's been born. And I gave her a little cheeky upgrade to the Disneyland Hotel, which she had no idea about. And the way that I announced this, Tash, you've heard this clip already, but for our listeners, was I recorded a fake episode of Chat Disney. And then when we were like 15 minutes away from Disneyland, I was like, oh, mum, should we listen to some Chat Disney? It didn't go quite as smoothly as I was hoping. My son was like screaming in the background. Luckily, she didn't say no. She was like, yeah, sure, why not? So we put it on. And it was a fake little episode of Chat Disney announcing the surprise. And Tash, through the magic of technology, I believe you're going to play that clip for us now.
Hello, I'm Mercedes.
And I'm Tash.
And you're listening to a very special episode of Chat Disney.
Hello.
hello and welcome, Disney enthusiasts, to a very special episode of the Chat Disney podcast, a very special solo edition. So despite Tash in the intro there, I am on my own today on the Chat Disney podcast, where dreams come true and excitement is always on the horizon. Now, today's episode is extra magical because, well, I've been planning a really thrilling Disneyland Paris trip, as you all know, and I've got a really exciting update about that trip for you, our wonderful listeners. So as you know, I've been eagerly planning my son's first trip to Disneyland Paris, and I'm going on this trip with my husband, obviously my new baby son, my sister, her boyfriend, and my mum, my incredible mum, who is very, very dear to me. And I'm absolutely bursting with joy to share a magical twist for you, mum, if you are listening to this episode right now. So I think about now, as you're listening to this, we're probably in the car, probably driving into Disneyland, maybe even in the resort itself. And you probably think that we're looking out for Sequoia Lodge signs, but no. I know that was the original plan, but I thought for you, mum, you need to check into a place that exudes luxury and is filled with enchantment. So we're going to be staying at none other than the Disneyland Hotel itself. Mum, can you believe it? Cue the gasps and excitement. I can't believe it. I literally can't imagine walking into the heart of Disneyland Paris every day right from our hotel. It's every Disney fan's dream come true, and it's a dream that you deserve, mum. All of the Disneyland Paris trips that we shared together from 1992, we never got to stay at that Disneyland hotel, and it's really important to me that I could do this for you. Now, dear listeners, this little upgrade is not just about the magic of Disneyland. It's a heartfelt thank you to my amazing mum. You see, she really has been my rock over the past 6 months, especially with the arrival of my new son, Teddy. So mum, this trip really is for you, for all of the support, the love, the help that you've given all of us during what has been a really tough but incredible journey into motherhood. And so get ready for the upgrade of your life, a really special dose of magic. I cannot believe we're diving into the enchanted atmosphere of the Disneyland Hotel. So do stay tuned for the journey ahead, and may all of your dreams be as magical as I'm sure this trip to Disneyland Paris will be for us and our family. Love you.
I love this clip. Like, when you sent it to me, it made me so happy. Obviously, I know your mum pretty well because I've known her since I've known you. And I love that it's not perfect. I love that these things, like with a baby, I'm sure we'll talk about this as we talk about the trip, but nothing ever goes to plan. And I love that you can hear him babbling away in the background, because he is basically the reason that you did the upgrade, because you wanted to thank your mum for helping you with your newborn baby at the time. So I think it's lovely that you can hear him there. And I think her reaction is perfect as well. It made me feel emotional.
Yeah, her reaction was amazing. And like, yeah, it was very our family. Like, my husband pressed like something at one point and it stopped playing, and you can hear me like, Chris, like, it's just, yeah, it was funny. And it was so annoying because I actually wanted to play it to her as we drove into the Disney resort, but my son was, you can hear him in that clip, but he had been quite grizzly just before, and I just managed to kind of calm him down. So I was like, oh, quick, let's do it now. I want to take advantage of the moment. And then, of course, 10 minutes later, as we're driving into the Disney resort, he's sound asleep. So it would have been perfect to do it then. But I was just, yeah, the whole journey, I was so apprehensive and so wanted to share the surprise with her. And lots of you were in on The Secret. I know our friends at 37 Disney Street have known about this. They spoke about it in their show a couple of weeks ago, kind of joking, saying, what if she's disappointed? What if she's really looking forward to like the fireplace in Sequoia Lodge? Bob Sangwell messaged me saying that it made him cry. So yeah, lots of you have been on this journey with us, and I don't know how I've kept it a secret from my mum for such a long time, but she genuinely had no idea, and it was incredible.
Oh yeah, you can definitely see that from her reaction. So let's talk about the Disneyland Hotel. So my own experience of the Disneyland Hotel is from when we went to Inventions for the Inventions brunch. And that's the only time that I've ever been in there. Currently, you can't go in unless you are a guest of the hotel, staying at the
Changed. That's changed.
I read something on social media the other day that someone said that they asked if they could go in and they were let, but then someone else said that they weren't. And so it was very much like cast member discretion.
So now it was cast member discretion, but on my last day, even that changed. So I'll walk you through all of that. Because it was very different. Literally, I was only there 4 days, but it changed quite. The last day I was there changed quite dramatically. So we'll talk about that. You're right, Tash. We'll get to how you can do it at the end of the episode. But it's not like it was before when we went for Inventions brunch, and you can't eat there.
Yeah, right. So it's very brand new, shiny. It only opened, like, was it January it opened? It was maybe not even January. I think it was the end of January.
It was like 28th of January.
Yeah, it was really, so like you are probably one of the first people to stay in the newly renovated rooms. Very, very exciting.
I definitely wasn't the first person to stay in my room. And we'll get to that.
Okay. So tell us, obviously, first impressions upon walking into that hotel. What were your expectations? What were your first impressions? What was the check-in process like? Go through all of that.
So I'd never driven into the Disneyland Hotel. I didn't even know where the car park was. I've never seen a car park. So that was all quite exciting for me because much like you, Tash, I'd been for that Inventions brunch that we did and I'd been for cocktails a couple of times as well, but I'd never driven there or checked in there. So that was all quite exciting to me as it was quite new. So you drive through security and then it's still a little bit, you can't see the hotel. So you kind of drive around this roundabout and then over a bridge after you've passed security, go over this bridge, kind of round this kind of snaky road, and then you see the hotel in front of you. So it's got like that nice reveal, which is quite amazing. And then we got to the front of the hotel. It was, honestly, I've never experienced anything like this. I'm very, very lucky that I've stayed at some really lovely premium hotels in my time, but this was, I've never had this before. As soon as my husband like stopped the car in front of the doors, like 10 men in burgundy coats and tails, like opened all the doors, opened the boot, whisked all our stuff away. Like they were like a pack of vultures. I've never, and when I tell you this car, like, at the Eurotunnel, they asked my husband to open the boot just for security. And he was like, I can, but there's a very good chance things will fall out. This car couldn't have had more stuff in it. There's like bags of food. There's a prep machine. There's a sterilizer. There's a cot. Like we have a small baby. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to drive. Like driving was no question on this trip because I just knew we had so many things to bring. Plus all of my paraphernalia. So yeah, like honestly, it was incredible. It was like, you know, Lumiere style. Everything was taken from the car on these like amazing gold, like suitcase trolley things. And then my husband gave his car key to another man in a burgundy top hat and the car was gone. And that was that, done, easy. You walk in and then you have these like royal greeters. And we had this lovely lady and she like walks you over to the concierge, checks you in. We didn't have to wait at all for check-in, which was amazing. We arrived at 1 o'clock, which I think is a bit of a random time because obviously lots of people like to get there really early because they want to go into the park, but then your room's not available till 3 or 4. And so I think 1 is quite a random time. So luckily there was no one there. Checked us in. This is the first little hiccup. Our room wasn't ready. Now, you might be shocked by this, Tash, and our listeners might be shocked because Disney always say your room's going to be ready at 3. They always say that. But you know, and I know, it's always ready before 3. Like your room's normally ready when you get there. The room wasn't ready. And that is because this hotel was jam-packed. Like Disneyland Paris is not busy right now. All of the rides were like 5-minute queues. Like it's just not busy. It's February and wet and it's not busy. But this hotel was at maximum capacity, you could tell. And it was apparent that whilst the staff were honestly the most polite, friendliest, attentive staff I've ever seen at Disneyland Paris, they were very, very overworked. You could tell, like, it was a very busy hotel, which I wasn't expecting. So I was like, it's just opened, but I'm an idiot. It's been closed for 3 years. There's a lot of people that wanted to go and stay there. You've got all the influencers. We saw a lot of influencers when we were there. We saw a lot of like Disneyland Paris, like officials, like in suits with name tags and stuff, kind of checking standards. It was busy.
Okay. And did this, I mean, I'm sure we'll get on to this. Did this hinder you in other aspects of the trip, i.e. breakfast, using the pool, etc.?
Yeah, so we actually didn't have breakfast included. So breakfast at the Disneyland Hotel is €40 per person per day, which I thought was very, very expensive. It's not with characters. That is just the standard breakfast. I actually queried this when I called just to query something else. And I said, well, I'm a little bit confused because I know that for the standard breakfast at Cheyenne and Santa Fe, which is continental, that's a certain amount. And then you pay a little bit more for Newport Bay, Sequoia Lodge in New York because it's cooked. So why is this more? Like, is it with Mickey? Like, why is this more? And she was like, Madame, it's more because you're dining in the Royal Banquet. And I was like, nah, sorry, I'm not buying that. Like, it's the exact same breakfast you get in New York and it's considerably more. So we didn't do that. And we had really big lunches every day anyway, so it wasn't an issue. But yeah, swimming pool wasn't busy. Like when I went twice and there were lots of people there, but it didn't take away from my experience. My mum went a little bit later than I did one day, and she said she couldn't swim a length without like a pool noodle hitting her in the face. So, and also like when I've been to like Sequoia Lodge swimming pool, Newport Bay swimming pool, New York swimming pool, I'm normally like the only one there because, and there were always like lots of people. It was actually, it wasn't busy when I went, like, to be completely honest, but I went in the middle of the day, like when I felt like my son had had enough in the park, which we'll come to in episodes to come when I kind of walk you through how it all went. But my mum did go one evening, kind of like around park closing. And she said like, and also it was a Friday. So again, it's getting busier for the weekend. If you're worried about the busyness of the hotel, just go in the week. Like on the Wednesday and the Thursday that we were there, it was not busy. The Saturday when we left, I felt like, I'm glad I'm leaving. It's suddenly like, and also it's half term in the UK this week. So I think a lot of people would have arrived Friday night, Saturday morning. But yeah, so if you're really worried about that, just go midweek.
Okay, interesting. I'm surprised that it was so busy, bear in mind how expensive it is. But I guess you say that there are a lot of officials, there are a lot of influencers there, so they obviously want to be there within like as early as they can when it first reopens. Okay, so your room wasn't ready, so did you go into the park?
Yeah, so we went into the park, which is fine because you get your magic pass and everything, and it literally takes like a minute to get into the park, which is incredible. And I cannot tell you, like, spoiler alert for the end of this episode, but obviously the main questions that I've been asked about this Disneyland Paris trip have been, would you recommend going with a small baby? And we'll cover that more in like the episodes to come over the next couple of weeks. But for this episode, a lot of people have said to me, would you recommend the Disneyland Paris Hotel? And even if you're not into princesses, even if like you don't care about like, you know, the hotel, you're not going to be in the hotel very much, if you have a child under the age of, I want to say like 3, oh my God, this hotel, being able to be like, he's cold, I'm going to go and sit in the lobby and have a hot chocolate and Belle's there. Like, I cannot tell you what a luxury it was to have that. I don't think you'd need it as much in the summer as well. I want to say if you're going in the winter with a little one, I'd say like preschool age, like before school, before they're 4, before they can actually handle those long, long park days, being able to be like, let's go back for a swim and then go and watch the parade. And we actually followed through. Like normally if I'm going back to the hotel, that's it. Like we literally one evening, like he fell asleep, my son, my mum was like, I don't really want to go back out again. So I was like, okay, should we go watch the parade? Literally, it takes like 30 seconds. I can't tell you. It was like we were in a bar in the park. Like it was worth its weight in gold. And that's nothing to do with the renovations and stuff. We'll talk about more about that in a second. This is just the proximity. Like I've never really appreciated that proximity before because I am a rope drop to fireworks kind of gal. And it's no issue to me. You know, I'm very active. I'm very happy to walk from Sequoia Lodge around the lake, be in the park all day. That's not an issue. But for this trip with a 5-month-old, like, I am so glad we did this. And I would recommend it to anyone with a small baby.
Yeah, because I think it is that thing of like, even though you think of like, you know, the Art of Marvel, Sequoia Lodge, for example, they're not that far a walk. But there is, I think, a mental block for me about going out of the park, going through the village, going back to your hotel and then coming back in. It, and also your room might not be, if you're in one of the lodges in Sequoia Lodge, then yeah, you might be a bit closer, but you might be further away. And it can take a long time by the time you do all of that. Whereas I can completely appreciate having the luxury of literally Main Street being on your doorstep is incredible. And I imagine worth the cost of the Disney. Oh.
100%. And like, my mum's not particularly mobile as well. So for her, like, there are some mornings where, you know, we'd go in, she'd be really, really tired, go back to the hotel for like a swim and a coffee. But then she would come back and join us. And I just know that she wouldn't have done had we been even at the New York. It's just that extra journey through the village. And the village right now as well, I don't know if you've all seen photos online, it's an absolute sham. There's literally like the middle of the village is basically just diggers. And then there's like boards around the edge. So you've got these like skinny, narrow paths. It's just not a pleasant place to be right now. I only went to the village like twice and it was just for food. My mum didn't even go into the village. Like, I did not miss that walk at all because it's just a mess. So yeah, I cannot emphasize enough how much that proximity was beneficial. And I think having a baby, it being cold, it just meant it wasn't like an upheaval. Like, it was just so easy. And ease, we always say this, right? At Disney, you've kind of got three choices: time, ease, and money. Like, yeah, it's expensive, but the time and the ease, like, I cannot tell you, it was incredible. So that was all good. But yeah, as you say, room wasn't ready, went into the park. And then this is my fault, but I do want to share this for future listeners. I kind of thought, because they'd been so quick at like emptying the car, and I genuinely thought my room would be ready because it's always been ready when I've gone to Disneyland Paris. I didn't appreciate how busy it would be. I didn't really think about things I needed urgently. So I had like enough milk with me to probably get us till like 5-6 o'clock, but our room wasn't ready until just after that. So then I had to go and get like
more. After 5 or 6 o'clock, your room wasn't ready until. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it'd be ready at like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. That's so. Bad, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, that is late. That is quite shocking.
And there was one day where we went back to the room at like 3 because we were going for a swim and housekeeping still hadn't been. Like, they are run ragged. They are really struggling. So that's not an issue, your room being ready 5-6 o'clock. If you know, they did tell us when we checked in that they aim for 3, but it could be 4, but it wasn't. It was like 5-6 o'clock. And at that point, I didn't have enough baby milk with me. It wasn't the end of the world, but what I would say is like, if you're doing this, just make sure that if there's anything like medication, baby stuff, anything that you have to have with you, don't let the bellhop people take that. Like, obviously have it with you, which seems so obvious, but I just assumed that they were going to take all my stuff straight to my room and that I'd be able to pop in there. But what it meant was that I had to go to baggage and show them my label and describe the bag that I wanted. They had to bring me the bag. I then had to get the stuff I needed and they had to put the bag back with my other bags, which, as I say, is not the end of the world, but it's just an oversight on my part. I didn't really think that that was what was going to happen. I just thought they'd take it straight to my room.
Yeah, okay, that is actually really good to know for a lot of people, I'm sure, especially people that are in the same position as you, that are going with young children that might need easy access to, even if it's like a change of clothes or something, things that you're going to need within like the first
couple of hours. That did happen. That did actually happen. So we travelled in a sleep suit. My son spilt milk all down himself, so I put him in his spare outfit to travel in. And then he had a poo explosion in the lobby. And luckily he did have a pram suit. So he was just wearing a t-shirt, a nappy and a pram suit, because his bag was in the baggery. So yeah, just anything that you think you're going to need to access, just make sure you've got that with you. But yeah, otherwise, like, no complaints there. So went into the park, which we'll talk about in a future episode, I'm sure, just focusing on the hotel today. And then we came back, and then I booked something called, I haven't really finished the check-in process, actually. Sorry, I'm all over the place. I'm still so buzzing and excited about the whole thing. So yeah, check-in. The lady was lovely. She was like, oh, can you tell me, like, a Disney princess? Like, da-da-da. And the answer was Belle. And she was like, and what's Belle's favorite room of the castle? We were like, a library. She was like, and what might you find there? A book. And then she presented us the book of the Disneyland Hotel, which I'm just going to show Tash now. I will post a picture of this on Instagram, Twitter for our listeners, but it's basically this dark colored brown book that you'll have seen all over social media. It's got like bronze detailing. It's really, really beautiful. You open it and it says, the time has come to set off for the royal adventure, a magical cool story you'll remember forever. And it's your royal fairy tale. And then as you kind of go through the hotel, there's like little adventure type quests you can do that you like fill out. You've got like your map of the hotel in there. There's like an area to get signatures and photos with princesses and stuff. It's a really nice little addition. The marketing and the logos and just the design of all of the new Disneyland Hotel branding is just gorgeous. So yeah, that was nice. So that was all good. And then the royal greeter as well, I remember she gave me a magic carpet sticker. There's like these, I think there's 6 stickers to collect around the hotel that all link to a princess. And I made a comment about it being Jasmine and then Aladdin, and I kind of said to Teddy, oh, mummy's favorite, and she remembered that, and then she like told me where I would find Jasmine in the hotel, and I thought that was like a nice touch. And she said, like, whenever I see you, I'm gonna remember you love Jasmine. And I just thought that was like a sweet thing that you wouldn't normally have.
Yeah, that's like that extra bit of magic, isn't it, going above and beyond.
Definitely. So yes, park back. So I booked this thing called a Royal Encounter. And I just seen it on my app and it was like, you can book it 7 days before. And I didn't actually really know what it was. So I was like, I'll just book it. And then I don't know if I should admit this on the podcast, because I think I've done something a bit naughty, but basically you can book it once a day, 7 days before your trip.
It's free.
Yeah. Now, obviously 7 days before your trip and you can book it once a day means you can book it 7 times, even if you're already there for 4 days, like I was. And then you can actually book it when you're there. So that gave me an extra like 4 days. So there were 11 times I could book this. So I did book it 11 times.
Of course.
But I don't think people knew you could do that.
Yeah. No, but I agree. Okay, yeah.
It was not good. Like, there was one time where, again, I probably shouldn't admit this, but I kept getting really rubbish times. But I just would turn up because no one really knew about this Royal Encounter. Like, so every time I went down there, I think they were sick of seeing me, honestly, because I was there 11 times. But I'd be like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like, I booked for 8:30, but we've got breakfast. So I know it's 8, but is that okay? And they always said it was fine. So I'd booked this for like 3 p.m. the day we arrived, but it was like 5. And I was like, let's just go and sit. Like, I didn't even know what it was at this point. I was like, I just booked this thing. I don't know what it is. I've booked like 11 of them. Let's just go and see what it is. And basically, it's this library. It's down in the basement, like next to the swimming pool. And it was so quiet. I don't think people know about it. And you go in there when it's your time and there's just a princess there.
Amazing. That's so good.
And like, obviously you have princesses throughout the hotel just kind of popping up. They're like in the lobby and they're outside the restaurant. They're in the bar. They're just kind of schmoozing, but you can't guarantee that they'll stop and pose with you. And also, like, we'll come to talk about what we were talking about in terms of like non-Disney guests being in the hotel and stuff. But it was very, very apparent with those princesses that they didn't want a queue, because if a queue started to form, they'd just kind of walk away from the queue and then start fussing over like a toddler who wasn't queuing. So it was meant to just be like pop up, whereas this was an actual Royal Encounter meet and greet experience. I had a photo pass photographer there, but you didn't queue. You just rocked up when it was your time. And the princess changed every 15 minutes.
Okay. I mean, this is amazing. You think how long people queue for the Princess Pavilion. Like, sometimes that queue is like 4 hours. It's ridiculous. Like, again, another huge perk of obviously staying at the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, and hot take, I wasn't sure. I was like, I cannot justify the cost of Lumiere and Royal Banquet. I did book both of them, but I was like, let's be honest, one's got to give. I can't. They're just so expensive. The Royal Banquet's 100 euros per person and Lumiere's 120 per person. After like an hour in this hotel, I was like, I'm cancelling Lumiere. I've seen Belle, Ariel, Cinderella, Aurora, Jasmine, Snow White. Like, are you, what?
Yeah.
Like, why would you go there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an amazing little tip, considering not many people know about it and it seems to be a little bit hidden.
100%. And there was a lady in there and her little girl really wanted to see Snow White and it was Cinderella, but they don't tell you who the princess is. So I'll tell you something about that in a second that you'll like. But you can see, if you're cheeky, you can see through the stained glass. So we knew it was Cinderella. And she was really disappointed, this lady. She went, oh, well, you know, darling. Blah, blah, blah. And they don't tell you for this reason, obviously, because like no one would go and see Snow White or whatever. And yeah, I said to the lady, like, oh, you could book again for like this evening. Like, did you book this today? She was like, no. And I was like, oh, you could book it. She was like, no, because it's one a day, isn't it? And I went, no, it's book one a day. Like, you haven't booked today, so you could book. And she was like, what? And she was like, I thought it's once per day of your stay. And I was like, no, I've booked a few of these. So I think even the people that did know about it were just like booking one on like the first day of their stay and then kind of forgetting about it. And I was down in the Royal Encounter like most of my trip. Like, all of the photos you'll have seen, Tash, is like in that room with the book. But like, I literally was down there the whole time. And as I say, they were so flexible. Like, if you were early, late, they were really accommodating. They didn't care, which was amazing. So yeah, what I was going to say was, the first day I went in, I was like, what is this? Because I didn't really know. As I say, we just kind of strolled down there and I was like, I don't really know what this is. I've got this booking or whatever. And he was like, oh, it's this lovely guy with like long curly hair who was there the whole time. So anyone that's been recently will know who I'm talking about. He was like, yeah, no, it's to meet a visiting princess. And I was like, oh my God, amazing. Who is it? And he was like, it's Belle. And I was like, oh, that's fantastic. Wonderful. And he's like taking my details. And I went, is it always Belle? He went, no, it changes. He literally like lifted this piece of paper up with biro, all the princesses, all the times. So I obviously had a really good peruse of it. Saw like Ariel in the afternoon. I was like, shit, Ariel. Because I hadn't seen Ariel at all. There was no sign of Ariel. So I was like, oh my God, amazing, Ariel's here. And I saw Jasmine was the 9 o'clock slot. And we had an 8:45 booking that day. So I was like, we'll just be 15 minutes late. Perfect. There's obviously a reason they don't tell people this. So, but he showed it to me with no prompting, like whatever. And then the next day I went down, there was a girl there and I asked her, she went, we do not know which princess. And I was like, okay, but who is it like right now? And she was like, no, I can't tell you. And I was like, well, that's stupid because I could just peer over the glass, but fine. And then I saw the guy like come round. I thought he'll remember me. So I was like, oh, hey, like, who is it? And he was completely different with me. He was really like, no, we don't know. And I think he got told off.
Oh, really? Interesting.
But also what I will tell you is I went down between 8:30 and 9, like pretty much every day of our stay, because I kept missing rope drop. We'll talk about that in future episodes when we go through day by day. And I also went at 9 o'clock most evenings as well, like after the fireworks. And Cinderella was always there at the 8:30 till 9. And Jasmine was always there at 9 p.m. So I think that schedule that he quickly showed me is the same schedule every day, or at least was for that week.
Yeah, interesting. You should have got a sneaky photo of it.
I know. And I remember seeing Ariel on it. I never saw Ariel there. So that must have been a time. And then we were really lucky. So I booked 4 p.m. the day we were going home. But we actually needed to be like on the road at 4, but I was like, I know that because I've come so many times, like I know they'll be understanding whatever. And they were really good. I checked in the morning and I said, like, we're meant to be leaving at 4. They were like, that's fine, but we do have a hour between 3 and 4 where there is no princess. So I was like, okay, that's good to know. So I went at like 2:45 and that was a time that we hadn't been and it was Snow White. So that like confirms my theory that I think it's the same rota every day.
Okay, well, that would make sense. So, okay, let's talk about your room. So we know that the rooms are inspired by different characters. So you were obviously in a different room to your mum. Were your rooms together, first of all?
Yeah, so we had adjoining rooms, which was amazing because if my husband and I kind of went off, then it meant that my mum could be in the room. It was just really, really handy. It also meant that me and my baby could take outfit pictures in my mum's room, which was like pristine because ours had baby stuff everywhere. And yeah, we got Beauty and the Beast and my mum got Frozen, which I was really happy with because I know there are some Raya and the Last Dragon rooms. There's some Moana rooms. There's some Wish rooms. So I was very happy to get Frozen and Beauty and the Beast.
Definitely. And the rooms are stunning. Like the artwork that you sent and posted is, it's beautiful. It's amazing. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter which Disney princess, which Disney movie you're into. There's elements in all of the rooms from all of the films. So the carpet, you've got like the genie's lamp and the rose and the apple and the Cinderella slipper. And then the mirror in the bathroom has the seven dwarfs around it. And the mirror on the makeup table is Rapunzel. There's lots of different elements in all of the rooms that represent all of the different Disney films. So you're going to be pleased, even if the artwork above the bed is not what you wanted. I do have to talk about housekeeping. I'm really, really sorry. I don't want to be negative at all because we've just come back from the most magical Disneyland Paris trip ever. But I'm sorry, when you are paying the money that I have just spent on that hotel, this is unacceptable. And I've heard quite a few other people say similar things. So I don't think this is an isolated incident. So I went into my room and there was a box of Hotel Cheyenne tissues on the side, which someone's obviously stayed at the Cheyenne and then done like a night at the Disneyland and bought the tissues with them and left them there by accident. And that's just not okay. And it's not like they were meant to be Disneyland hotel tissues. I had the Disneyland hotel tissues too. These are just tissues that someone had left.
Oh, okay. Because when you posted, I assumed it was like they just had excess stock of like Cheyenne and it had been put in there by accident.
Oh, and I even checked my mum's room as well to see like if there were meant to be two boxes of tissues, but no, it was just... Okay. Yeah. Someone's left that there. My mum found some trainer socks in her drawer, okay. Which I don't think is okay. But they're the worst of all. And I haven't shared this with Tash. And I'm so excited. So one evening, it was the first night, I think. And I thought like a bit of my son's sterilizer had broken off because there was like a bit of what looked like black plastic on the floor.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh God, is the sterilizer? Like, I was really worried. Like it looked a bit like a Tommy Tippy prep machine or sterilizer. So I panicked and I bent down, picked it up, literally had it like about 10 centimeters away from my face, holding it. Guess what it was?
I've got no idea.
It was disgusting. Please try and guess.
I literally have no idea. Absolutely no idea.
It was a thumbnail.
What?
A whole thumbnail with dark purple polish on it.
Oh my God, that is actually disgusting.
Like, that's unacceptable, isn't it?
What? That is...
On the floor, just on the floor.
And that was this in, like, the middle of the floor? Was this under something, like...
Like, in between the two beds.
Okay, yeah, that is not good.
Like, it wasn't under it was literally just on the floor. A dark purple whole thumbnail.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah, that is not the standards that you expect. I mean, you shouldn't expect that from any hotel that you're paying to stay at, but that is definitely not the standards that you should expect from a hotel where you're paying obscene amounts of money to stay there.
Agreed. And like, I'm somebody who, yeah, I like luxury. I like staying at nice hotels, but this is definitely like the most expensive hotel I think I've ever stayed at. And it was small things as well. Like you have complimentary water, nuts and peach juice randomly, or pear juice, I can't remember what it was now, in the mini fridge. And there's a sign and it says, this is all complimentary because you're a Disney hotel guest, which I've stayed at hotels in like Greece and Spain and Turkey where you get like Diet Coke and stuff complimentary. So I wasn't like wowed by some water. My most recent holiday in Morocco, we got 2 liters of water every morning complimentary because that's quite normal in a hotel. They don't replenish the water.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
I think that's unacceptable. Like, it's just water. And my mum asked the housekeeping as well because she wanted more water. And also there were makeup pads, like just cotton pads. And I'd run out of cotton pads as well. And I was like banking on having more of those. And my mum was like, have they replenished your cotton pads? And I was like, no. She was like, that's awful. And like, you know what hotels are like. You use the shampoo, you get more shampoo the next day. And my mum was asking like this lady in housekeeping, she didn't really speak English, as you can understand. And then there's like this head housekeeper lady who like is sort of checking the standards as the ladies are cleaning. And she had like a suit on. And my mum asked her, and she went, no, we don't replenish makeup pads.
Oh.
And my mum was like, I'm not like taking them to go home. I've used them. Like they're in the bin. Like, and they were like, no, we don't replenish. I'm sorry.
That doesn't make any sense to me, because if you're only staying there for a night, you still get them for your one night.
My mum said that. My mum was like, so someone who's staying here for one night gets the same service as someone who's here for seven. No water. I completely agree. And I'm sorry, but I'd expect the Cheyenne to refill my toilet.
Yeah, I would. That is not okay. That's really weird.
I think it's unacceptable. Yeah, I think the housekeeping was the element that I was like really disappointed with. And like, I remember staying at the Newport Bay, which is, I think it's a 4-star now, but I think it used to be a 3-star. And I remember they used to do a turndown service in the evening, where they would come and they'd turn the beds over and they'd leave chocolate Mickey chocolate coins on the bed. If any of our listeners remember this, I think it was Newport Bay in New York and the Disneyland Hotel that used to do this in like the 90s and noughties. And like, I'm not even getting my water refilled and there's a toenail on the floor. Like, I'm sorry, but, and it's like opening week, like, no.
Yeah, it's not good. And I think like, even being really busy and being at full capacity, like, they have to be prepared for that. And especially with it being newly reopened, with it being renovated, like, they know that's going to happen. Hire more staff, hire more temporary staff.
I agree. Meaning
that there are ways around it.
I think one of the issues is that, like, obviously this hotel's been closed for a really long time, plus there's COVID as well. These staff are all going to be new.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And like, true. Where with the rest of the resort, like the concierge and the royal greeters and the princesses, you can see they have handpicked the best of the best from throughout the resort. And I think I even read somewhere that they said that they'd like awarded or rewarded their like best staff, so that like, you know, someone who's like front of house at New York that's like amazing would get to work at the Disneyland Hotel. I think they'd like said somewhere that that's what they were doing. But with housekeeping, like, you could just see that these were like new recruits, and that's fine, but the training needs to be there, the support needs to be there. There's obviously not enough of them to handle the demand.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so disappointing negative stuff aside, was there anything else that you had an issue with, or was it just that?
Nope, it was literally just housekeeping. Like, I honestly, this hotel was magnificent, wonderful. The little royal encounter that I spoke about was honestly like worth its weight in gold. The proximity to the park, the magical touches, that chandelier when you walk in, my mum just didn't stop crying. It was like when I took her to see Hamilton and she just cried through the first half of the show. She was just sat in a chair in the reception crying for like 20 minutes when we arrived, which was really sweet. But yeah, it was everything I wanted and more. Just the housekeeping thing is my only niggle. And I wouldn't be being, you know, I'd be disingenuous to not mention that. So I wanted to mention it. So you were talking earlier about non-hotel guests being able to come into the hotel. And I really want to touch upon this because I have some opinions. Now, normally I'm somebody who I'm like, I love the inclusivity of Disney, and things like FastPass turning into Genie Plus makes me angry, because then it becomes like classist, elitist. If you've got money, you get better service. I don't like things like Premier Access, Lightning Lanes and so on. And I'm somebody who will stay at a moderate resort in Walt Disney World, but then happily have breakfast at the Grand Floridian, dinner at the Contemporary, lunch at the Polynesian. So what I'm about to say might not sound like me and how I am ordinarily, but I'll say it and we can discuss, and you can let me know if you agree or not. So obviously this hotel, there's a lot of anticipation. It's all over social media. It's been closed for a long time. Everyone wants to go in there and experience it. They had originally said that you could have lunch at the Royal Banquet if you were staying at a Disney hotel. Didn't need to be the Disneyland hotel, just any Disney hotel. They've redacted that. So you can no longer do that. If you've already booked it, then they'll honor it, but you can't book it now. That's been frozen. And then also they've got like a bibbidi bobbidi boutique kind of experience in the hotel, Royal Makeover, I think it is, Royal Dream. That was also for Disney hotel guests. That's now just Disneyland hotel guests. They've frozen bookings. But if you already had one, it's honored. I can see why. And I kind of agree that they've done this. The problem you have is, I was talking to you about kind of like Aurora just being in reception and Ariel just being in the bar. That was wonderful on the Wednesday, the Thursday, the Friday. On Saturday, Disney made an announcement, which is very controversial. But to your point, Tash, there was a lot of ambiguity, people saying I was allowed in earlier, but then this person wasn't. And it seems to be cast member discretion. It's all a bit weird. They now have an official line. They have visitor passes. So from Saturday, the 10th of February, which is the day that I checked out, they introduced visitor passes. You queue outside the hotel. When all of the visitor passes have been handed out, you have to wait until someone comes out and returns one, and then you can go in. In the morning, during breakfast hours, when all the hotel guests are busy in the hotel, 5 visitors are allowed in the hotel. From about 10 o'clock, I think it was, in the morning, when most of the guests are in the park, that number goes up to 50 people.
Right.
Now, Tash, you are not staying at the Disneyland Hotel. You're a visitor. You're not allowed to do the Royal Makeover. You're not allowed in the pool. You're not allowed to do the Royal Encounter. You're not allowed to eat there. Where do you think you're going to go?
I'm going to go and see if you can spot any characters.
So you've got 50 people just standing. It was honestly, Tash, I know I sound like an elitist, whatever, but seeing it on the day where it wasn't like that, and then the Saturday, it was awful. You've got little girls who have just finished their breakfast. Like, look, mummy, Ariel. And then you've got like 50 grown men standing. And I don't mean that makes it sound like I'm like bashing Disney adults, and I'm not doing that. I love characters as much as the next person. But you know who was in there. It was the influencers. It was the, and I'm sorry, but that's not what it's about. And I did see one Belle who handled it with such grace, this mob, like literally like Gaston's mob, like formed around her. And she just walked off and just went over to this little girl who was doing colouring, because that's what it's meant to be. It's not a meet and greet. Yeah. They're just meant to be milling around.
I think as well with stuff like that, and again, like I hate exclusivity. Like I'm all about inclusivity. It drives me mad. But I think with that, if you are someone that is staying there and you're paying that much money, you expect to have perks over other people. Maybe that sounds bad, but whatever. You expect to have benefits that other people do not. And if this is suddenly available to everyone, then people are going to prioritize that over going to like the Princess Pavilion and stuff, if like they can just walk around and wait and like spot a character in that way. I know maybe it's not the same as a meet and greet. You're not guaranteed to have a photo in time necessarily with a princess, but if they are not so bothered about that and you've got little kids, then why are you not going to do that instead? Which will be great for some people, but I think if you're a guest staying at that hotel and that takes away from your experience, which you have paid for. And I think a lot of people, as they do cotton on to the fact that there are princesses milling around, there are things like the royal meet and greet, whatever it was called, people, that is going to be one of the main reasons, I think, that people will choose to pay the money to stay at that hotel. And I think that it kind of takes away from that if you are just letting everyone do it.
I completely agree. And it was really interesting for me because we've spoken before on the podcast, I've got a 3-year-old niece who's obsessed with Disney princesses, maybe even more than I am. And I messaged her parents immediately. And I was like, you have to stay here. Like if she went to Disneyland Paris, if I was taking her and it was just her and I don't think we'd go to the park. I think we would literally go and have our breakfast, go and get her a royal makeover, book our royal encounter, walk through reception. Oh, look, it's Ariel. Like that would be enough for her. Honestly, she wouldn't need to go on any rides. Like I did the least amount of rides I've ever done on any Disney trip because I was so happy and content just having a coffee and being like, look, darling, it's Aurora. It was wonderful. And it wasn't like that on the Saturday because you couldn't see Aurora because there was a mob around her. And that's not what that's meant to be. It's not a meet and greet. It's a chance encounter. And it took the magic away. It really did. And again, I hate, like I've always said, I liked Fast Pass was for everyone. And, you know, but you're right. It's a hotel. I appreciate the people that stay at the Grand Floridian are going to have more benefits than me if I stay at Coronado Springs. When it comes to accommodation, I think it is slightly different. And also, controversially, even within the Disneyland Hotel, you've got a tiering system, because I didn't stay Castle Club, for example. So Castle Club have their own floor. They have breakfast with the princesses every morning in their own private breakfast room. And they actually have a lift that takes them into the Disney parks. They don't even have to go through the turnstiles. And all that's going to happen as well by like letting anyone in is you're creating more of a gap between like the regular Disneyland Hotel guests and Castle Club as well. Like you're just, it's, you know, and I think that what will happen, and this is like kind of one of the main things I want to say about the Disneyland Hotel, it was so magical when like they had the Troop Royale doing like performances spontaneously and they were singing A Whole New World, and then Jasmine just miraculously appeared like just one evening when we were coming back with our McDonald's. Like it was so, so amazing. And a few people have said to me, do you think that's just because it's opening? And I'd love to say no, but if they're going to just let anyone in, then all of that will stop.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a real shame, because you have to have I know there are many other perks to staying there as well, but like for me, I think if I was going to stay there, that would be the biggest incentive.
What are the other perks to staying there? Proximity is the big one.
Yeah, luxury, I guess. But then actually, as you say, housekeeping is not top.
Housekeeping was bad. That honestly, like I would say it was bad, and the rooms are exactly the same size as like what I've stayed at Marvel.
Yeah.
Like, I think that is the proximity and the characters. Yeah. I think that's it. And if you're going to allow anyone to meet those characters, it changes it.
Definitely. No, I completely agree with you there. So, yeah, I really enjoyed hearing all about this, and I'm sure our listeners will have as well. And I have a million other burning questions about your trip, but fear not, listeners, because we will be covering the trip in great detail. We're going to be talking all about what Mercedes Sun thought of it. We're going to be talking about attractions, shows, dining, everything that you can possibly imagine. If you have got any specific questions that you want to ask Mercedes about her trip, please do get in touch and let us know. You can find us on Instagram at @ChatDisney.
But also on X at @ChatDisneyUK. Or if you're listening to today's podcast on Spotify, there's an actual Q&A on the episode. How easy is that? You don't even need to leave your podcast app. Just scroll down. There's a little box and you can ask any questions for Tash and I directly, and we'll make sure we answer them in the next episode.
We will indeed. And we will be back next week at the same time and the same place. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thank you. Goodbye now. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. Goodbye.